There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to a real first, ladies. First live recording in front of a live audience of Glamour's wildly successful podcast. Mm-hmm. Glamour, Hey, It's Okay. As for regular listeners, we debate certain things that don't really matter that much, but we get very impassioned about them anyway. Today, my guests on the podcast are the wonderful Laura Jackson and Alice Levine. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Now, you guys, you met at a charity jumble sale, which then, I'm just going to quickly tell the story, which then is sort of like they bonded over their mutual foodie obsession, and that's launched a whole other business apart from your sort of like radio and television careers, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we don't like to talk about our charity work, Joe. but we were obviously making loads of money for Oxfam. We'll probably get a blue plaque.
But that's not actually true, was it? Because you were definitely stuffing things in your bag and not paying for them. So
I mean, that's
I've heard
the
jury's
still out. But yeah, we found some gems and we bonded over, I think it was a cat blouse and a pair of dungarees, the way all great friendships are made. And then, we just started talking about food pretty much straight away.
But was it a really intellectual discussion about food, or was it like, oh God, I could murder a Greg's pasty right now?
I do like a pasty.
Oh, me too.
But no, it was more of a, have you tried this restaurant, or do you know this is opening, or like, have you ever been here? So it was kind of more of a like excitement about what we kind of love about food. And then we just kind of started, we kind of like started dating each other in a non-sexual lesbian way, because we'd email each other going, oh, have you heard about this place?
Highly disappointing. I know.
Yeah. It was for me. I was under really...
Oh, Paige, is that what you thought? I'm so sorry.
I was really thrown.
You were like, you really worked hard to flaunt your curves in that dungaree.
I wind up, I dined up.
But you never picked up the bill, so that's why it didn't happen.
I'm a modern woman.
It was kind of a bit of an accidental business, because we wanted to do something with food, and I think in radio and television we don't make the calls, we don't decide whether we get a job. We can go in and hope for the best, but we don't make those decisions. So we wanted to do something that was just completely ours and we had full creative control over, and we just thought, well, we like food, let's do something with food. And we loved Grace Dent's reviews, and we always used to talk about our like favorite restaurant reviews. So we were like, well, we should maybe, I love this, we should maybe like get a column or something. We should start
just
writing.
Get a column.
Let's just do that. So we thought, we can't just start writing about food and then not have anything to back it up with. So we were like, let's just start like a supper club.
Can I just can you cook?
Yeah.
So that was like a fundamental box ticked. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So before we started, like Laura says, dating, we kind of cooked for each other before we started eating out in places together. We're very much home cooks. We're not chefs, but we're kind of, it's a thing that we like to do the most outside work. Well, eat and drink in that order. I think it was always going to be a challenge, but it was something that we were up for. It's not like we didn't know how to boil an egg. So we had little bit of grounding.
I guess we wanted to, like, the premise of it was we wanted to extend cooking for each other to cooking for other people.
Yeah.
And we love the idea of the fact that, you know, your dining room table at home is like a real hub, isn't it? Like, everyone gathers around there, like, I'm sure as a family you all eat around there and talk about your day. And it's just the kind of, it's where we do all our work around a big table, and we have, like chats about everything. And we were like, we just want to bring all these people around a table, and the common denominator was food. So we've had people like builders, electricians, people that work in fashion. Like, we've had the most crazy mix of people, and then people that have really made great friends. So a girl who had a cafe in Bristol came. She like heard about it through Instagram. And there was a girl there who worked at InStyle magazine, and they ended up sitting next to each other because we mixed up the table plan. And then this girl ended up writing a column for InStyle through their relationship.
Just a magazine that you don't need to know about.
No, sorry.
At all. It's at this glamorous.
No.
Thanks for that.
Sorry.
That is not okay.
I only read Glamour, though.
Other magazines are available. Yeah. I do my BBC head.
Oh. Yeah. But it's just been nice that relationships have completely, I don't know, they've like really grown out of just meeting. It's just interesting, isn't
getting
it?
Getting drunk and eating, which yeah. is the best way.
Oh, well, see, that's the thing, because for the first time ever, I'm able to come to one soon. And I was like, yes. You know, is there alcohol? Oh, good, because we're going to need that. But so where do you stand on, you're bringing these groups of people together for these supper clubs. Are you the kind of people, do you have no truck with, oh, I'm wheat-free, I'm, you know, gluten intolerant, I'm, you know, I hate any joy in my food. How do you handle those, that kind of subsection?
We pretend we haven't received that email, generally. We just divert that straight to junk. That's really hard because I think neither of us are fussy eaters. I mean, I know there are certain dietary requirements. This is like my official spiel now. There are certain dietary requirements which are completely legitimate.
You don't want to be near me when I've had shellfish.
Oh, really?
That's highly unpleasant.
Yes. Okay, well, do we have to know that?
Is it the full anaphylactic?
No, I'm not going to die, but, you know, let's just say...
It's not good.
Let's not share any more than that.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah. By the look that you're giving me right now, you're searing through my brain. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah.
No, we're relatively intolerant to intolerances, actually.
Yeah.
If you're veggie, that's fine, but we can't start, you know, like, shaving your pistachio nuts for you and stuff like that. Like, we can't really go that far.
Is that a requirement?
Yeah, some people want their apricots like in a fan or like, you know, whittled into a rose shape. Yeah, we can't do any of that.
I think we just say we can't cater for dietary requirements.
Because we're only two people, because we cook everything as well. So in a restaurant, you've got a team and you've got a big professional kitchen, but we just do it in Laura's kitchen, so...
And also, if you're, like, allergic to nuts, we can't promise there's not going to be a nut in there.
We're pretty slapdash. We might have dropped a Snickers in there, so you've got to
be
careful.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Fusion, experimental.
Yeah. But actually, I think you have to be pretty open-minded to come to a supper club. I think we never share our menu beforehand, so you've got to be up for being a little bit experimental. So I think that if you are a fussy eater or gluten-free or wheat-free, you wouldn't really put yourself in that situation.
How experimental? Now I'm thinking about that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they're sort of like the tray comes up and there's a big monkey brain, you know.
Monkey brain. Yeah. So we did that
with
a side of kale.
Yeah.
We're not that wacky, are we? We're not Heston. We don't really go in for
foams, chews
and foams and froths and reductions.
I don't like a foam.
I don't like a foam.
Really,
I also don't want a jelly.
The foam.
Yeah. But what is it? Like, what is it?
It takes hours. It doesn't taste of anything. It's gone in half a second.
Yeah. That's usually what's floating on the top of like the waves at dodgy British beaches, isn't it? You don't want that sort of scum.
And it contributes disproportionately to a £250 meal.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. I can't remember.
Where are you eating out?
Well, that wasn't very, Greg. Very fancy places. Yeah.
Okay, no shellfish, no foam for the next supper club.
No foam, no monkey brains.
Yeah, no.
No shellfish.
And you'll get a bit of change from £250.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realise I was paying. Shit.
Oh, your reputation precedes you. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm a journalist. But I just want to quickly go back to you saying, oh, you know, when we've sort of like started quote unquote dating and we were joking about that. But in all seriousness, I think it's really weird, isn't it, when you make female friendships as you get older. There is that sort of like weird flirtation thing, oh, I hope they like me. Sort of. How did you navigate that in the beginning?
We just instantly got on. I think, you know, when you meet people in life, don't you, and like in all different kind of situations, and you just kind of, it sounds weird, but you just kind of know when you're going to get on with someone. I think instantly I was like, oh, I really like her. I would like her to be my friend.
I still think maybe it's, I'm getting older, and it's like there's still that moment where you kind of almost want to say, can I be your friend? You know, can we be friends? I think that's weird.
Because Laura's much more forward than me, I think it's fair to say. Like, we're real chalk and cheese, and I'm probably, I wouldn't say shy, but I'm you're definitely much better in those situations. So I think because Laura made the first move and she was like, right, let's go for a coffee, let's have lunch. Like, I think somebody needs to...
Is that your Northern accent?
That was my Northern
accent.
All right,
okay.
Where are you from again? So yeah, I think because you did that, that makes life easier. And I think also that often you have friends where you can think, oh, I have this friend type. And Laura was like nobody that I was friends with. Like, I was kind of really drawn to her, and she's really dynamic and charismatic. And I was like, not that none of my friends are those things, but she's a really different type of person to... who I knew, and that's really exciting, you know, when you have that like kind of clicky moment. So I think, yeah, I think if you'd not made the first move, maybe I wouldn't have, but it's good to have a bolshy northerner.
I'm clinically
on the
insane,
team.
Joe.
Well, that helps. That just went, sort of like smooths any surfaces.
Yeah. I think Alice felt sorry for me. She was like, you need some help. Like, I'm gonna help you.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was there in a professional capacity. I didn't realize we were just pals.
And now you're stuck with her.
Honestly, yeah. You joke. Yeah.
But once you don't answer the phone, I think it's totally fine to call her 20 times. That kind of.
But now you've got it's like a proper business now. Now you've got a book coming out, right?
Yeah. I do kind of feel like it was an accidental business, because when we used to speak about it when we started, we would say, oh, this is our hobby, and like we're doing this as like a bit of a passion project. And then we were like, oh, I don't think it is that anymore. I think this is like...
This is like proper hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a nightmare. Yeah. And yeah, it just kind of escalated. And I think we kind of... It's gotten too far.
It's got out of control.
Really. Could you tell her that I'm not that interested anymore?
I think what you need to do is just serve someone an anaphylactic Snickers bar, and the whole thing will get shut down overnight, and then you'll be fine.
Honestly, any day, health and safety, they'll be around. Yeah, I think... one day we were just cooking up some smash for someone, the next minute you're on the Glamour podcast. I mean, it has definitely escalated quickly.
I mean, this is the dream right here, right?
It's wonderful.
Yeah. I think we came in at a time where there was lots of healthy eating and this whole clean food movement, which we were just never part of. We just don't eat that sort of... It's fine. What everyone else does in their own time and has their opinions is cool, but it just wasn't for us.
It's so funny you say that, because backstage I ran into Madeline Shaw just as I opened a packet of crisps and had a crisp in my horror room with cheese and onion.
You did the comedy over the shoulder, like, okie dokie. Yeah. Grab the satsuma. Yeah.
Yes. So.
But I think it's like... They do what they do really well, but we were never part of that. And I think that as there has kind of been a bit of a shift in food movements, that because we were not part of the clean eating gang, that we kind of have become quite... It's been like a slow success, but
can,
I think
we... Can we call it dirty eating?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Dirty eating.
When we cook the supper club, our lunch is absolutely disgusting. And I was like, we should take a picture of this and like show people what we really are. I'm like, no, we shouldn't. It's like a horrible cheese toasty, like stuff with like mayonnaise and
gherkins on the side.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a horrible cheese toasty.
There really isn't.
Anyway, on that note, I'm going to move us on to, I don't know how much you know about Hey It's Okay. We run it basically in the little pod cupboard at the Glamour office, and it is like a Glamour features meeting. So we literally debate the sort of stuff, the real bullshit, quite frankly, that goes into our features meetings. And Alice and Laura picked some topics with me beforehand, and the first one I want to talk about is it okay to embellish your CV?
Oh, man.
Oh, they both went very quiet.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I'm not sure I know anyone that hasn't embellished their CV.
I think you have to give yourself a bit of a leg up, right? Mm. I definitely did that when I first got to London.
The first CV, that would be a crock oh shit, wouldn't it, if you didn't lie on it?
Yeah.
That would be so rubbish.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, I once washed my dad's car and I potentially had a Saturday job for like 6 months.
So that's like Alan Sugar, isn't it?
Yeah. Precisely.
I can spin that. Yeah.
100%. You definitely need to be a spin doctor on it. And I think the other thing is, it's wording, isn't it? So if you did wash your dad's car, you're like, oh, I was a like motor vehicle management assistant. That's what you'd
like. I think ologist is always a good...
Ologist is great.
Suffix. Yeah.
Head of is really good.
Yeah.
Or like communications. What does that mean? I mean, no one knows what that means.
No.
It's fine.
I I genuinely barefaced lied on the CV that got me my first job.
Do you not work at Glamour?
Yeah. It's all been a sham.
Can somebody check the paperwork, please?
Yeah.
What did you lie about?
I lied about did I have any sub-editing experience, because this particular job was mostly writing, but they also wanted somebody who did sub-editing, and I just thought, well, how hard can that be? It's, you know, I know how to spell.
Sure.
It's cool. But when I got this job and they were using a completely different computer system than I'd ever used, and they said, oh, have you used this before? And I had the job and I was like, yes.
And I love this system. This is my favorite kind of
system.
And then
I sort of sat down and realized very quickly, oh my God, I can't even vaguely
Google.
Work this out. So then I sort of like gave some guff, which then I'm sure everybody knew was a lie about, oh, I thought this was the same as our Australian system, and it's slightly different.
You can't play the Australian card.
I did, I played the Aussie card. It was like,
it's
really
different down under, I'm so sorry.
Oh, and I also lied about having bar experience when I got a bar job here, and it was like somebody asked me for a whiskey mac, and I'd never heard of that. So I poured some whiskey into a glass and handed it, and the guy said, well, that's not a whiskey mac. And then I pretended that was this different thing in Australia as well.
Actually what we call it. So in many ways, you're wrong. Enjoy your drink.
I am a pathological liar. It's probably not okay, is it?
Yeah. I've done the same. I remember when I did work experience before I'd left school, and I went to work in the wardrobe department of the theatre, local theatre, when I lived in Nottingham. And the lady that ran it, I really didn't like her. I don't think she really liked anyone, to be fair. But I'd get there every day at 8, and I was really, really keen. And I remember one day she was like, has that girl arrived yet? And it was 11 o'clock. I'd been there for like 4 hours. And I was like, I'm here. And she was like, oh, right. Went back to what she was doing. I was like, I'm making a really good impression so far. Anyway, they'd said to me like, oh, she likes a tea at a certain time. So I was like, this is really important. This is where you can really make an impression. Get her tea right. So I made a tea and I was making it for her every day. And I didn't drink tea at home. I remember going home and being like, Mom, how many times do you use a tea bag? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, how many times like would you use it? And she was like, well, like what once? How many times have you used it? I was like, I've just been putting it in a bowl and like using it for the whole week.
You dirt burger.
But
that's
disgusting. It wasn't on purpose. But I suppose, you know, like, count the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. Like, she got about 22 cups of tea out of that. But no wonder I wasn't, to be fair, asked back to visit as a full-time member of staff.
I think that's a very, you know, I know a lot of staff over the years who, you know, and husbands, I think, are very good at this as well, doing something badly so that they never have to do it again. Yeah. Has that worked out for you?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, well, it's probably worked out with me on the radio, yeah. I do that quite badly. Any day
please.
Now, they'll be like, you're
done. You don't.
Oh, but you must find this, though, in the magazine, too. They're both things where if you do something badly, it's there for all to see or hear. Like, there's no hiding behind it.
Well, that's never happened. So
no, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine it hasn't.
I can't imagine what that's like. No, it must be awful for you.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah. But thank you for making me feel better about it.
I'm dyslexic, so my CV was probably, like, completely illiterate. So it was kind of... And I actually remember, I can't remember, was it... There was a television show and they used to spray perfume on it. They had like a letter. So I remember giving CVs out and spraying it with perfume. I was like, well, at least it'll smell nice, even if it reads terribly.
What was it, Impulse? Or
probably, yeah.
A little bit of chippy purple.
Sure, just roll on some sure.
People asphyxiating as they open your CVs all over town. Make it stand out.
Yeah. That's what they used to say though, didn't they? They'd be like, think of like interesting ways. I was like, pink paper and perfume, that's going to do it. But then it was absolutely shit. It was like,
she is a hussy, so maybe.
But it must have worked once or twice, right?
I don't know.
I feel like you've been working since you were 9 years old.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of five, so Alice always makes an awful joke when I always do that. She's like, oh. But I'm one of five, and my mum's always made me have a job. I did a paper round when I was about 12, and it was for the free papers, and I had to put the leaflets into the papers. Then I used to have to carry around this trolley. Anyway, I was just like, this is absolutely crap. I'm not doing it anymore. So I started hiding them underneath my bed, and I put them all in these suitcases. And I got home one day, my mum was in my room with the suitcase open, and she was like... Do we need to talk? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how they got in there. She's like, we put them there.
Guys in the 50s pretending to go to work with their suitcase. Yes. You're like, I'm off, Mum.
You deprived so many people of that vital local information.
I know.
It's awful.
I know. I don't even know. Yeah.
I had a job like that, and it looked so glamorous. I thought it was like really easy money where you just hand out pamphlets all day.
Oh, yeah,
and I did this at my hometown of Sydney, and I'll never forget. People just yelled at me all day about, you know, it is a waste of paper. I know it is. So after a while, I just started, I walked loads of streets and started like just dumping great swathes of them in the bin. And I never got another job with that agency, so I think I got caught.
Yeah. But isn't that what every...
So, yeah.
If you give out pamphlets, isn't that what you do? I swear everybody must dump them. Because, like...
Well, that's what I figured.
One in 800 people is taking them. So that's going to take you forever.
Mm-hmm. And it was for a chemist. Something like, you know, it was a flyer about 2-for-1 on paracetamol or something like that. So, I mean, it wasn't...
Tell me more. This sounds like...
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, you know, if I...
I wish I had a pamphlet.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd learnt my lesson.
I love all those little jobs, though, when you're growing up. I think it's... It's just so fun, isn't it? The people that you get to meet and the jobs that you do. Although I did have a job at Shoreditch House once, which was the worst job ever.
Which is, what was it?
I worked on the door at Shoreditch House.
Oh.
And that was like...
You were a door bitch.
I was a door bitch. I was a door bitch. But I really liked the people that I worked with. But I used to work from 4 till 4, 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. And there wasn't a staff room then. Does anyone work for the Soho House Group, by the way, for
Do they want to give Laura a free membership before she tells the story?
Yeah, don't get me kicked out, will you?
Oh my God, it's the worst job ever.
They do really nice foam there. I just,
yeah. I've heard their lobster's fantastic. You guys try it.
But people would come in at like 4 and they'd be like, oh, darling, hi. And then they'd come out and they'd be like, get me a cab now.
Like, oh, I didn't realise we'd met before. But
Actually, Joe.
Oh, it's so old that you told me about her, yeah.
But, and my friend had an orange, like, she sat on the bin because we were knackered because we were working for 12 hours and we had to wear heels. And she sat on the bin. She got a disciplinary for sitting on the bin. They caught her on the camera. Anyway, it's the worst job ever.
Wow.
Yeah, but I got some really great stories. There was a guy that, like, worked upstairs and he used to bring me tea in a teapot, but it was wine. Can I say all of this?
No. Publicist looking very. She's like, she's getting a bit of a sweat on.
They were amazing, like amazing people. But it's just a really hard. It was a hard.
All of those jobs are awful. I think the worst thing I ever did in that job as waitressing was that you'd be so starving at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and if people sort of like had a cheesecake and left it, I would eat it from the back. After it's just so grim. I remember the head waiter catching me one day saying, "You're unbelievable." I was like, "I'm so hungry." Oh. Which is probably a good point to stop talking about. Speaking of that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it okay to really fuck up at work?
Definitely. I mean, well, in those early jobs, that's all we did really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You were definitely finding your feet. So it was a case of I think, faking it till you make it, which we are both people, we both subscribe to that notion.
Yeah.
I think making it up as you go along is okay for a certain amount of time. Mm. I mean, fucking up at work, the one that springs to mind, as I was saying earlier, radio is one of those things where if you fuck up, people like to clip it up and then upload it to lots of websites and then tweet it and then send it to their friends and go, look how shit this person is at their job. But the one that springs to mind is when I was covering for somebody else's show, which is always a good time to fuck up because it's on their time. So technically,
so it's their fault.
You can just walk away and cover your ears like you've let the grenade explode. But we had a comedian on who decided to tell a story. I said, you know, do your mum and dad watch everything that you do? Which I thought was quite an innocuous question. I thought, how can this go wrong? And it was somebody who I'm friends with now, the comedian Tom Rosenthal, and he said, oh yeah, my mum and dad like watch everything. I mean, they've seen me do all sorts like on TV. And he was in the series Plebs, and he said, my grandma's watched me lick out a prostitute. And you know when you're just life flashes before your eyes and you're like, it's been such a good time at Radio 1. These 3 years were so fun and just all the happy memories are just flashing before you. And in that moment, you obviously have to decide what to do. And I glanced at the producer and he just did like the classic fingers across throat motion. And I'm like, what do? I can't take him out. I don't have a sniper on the roof.
So I just had to like do one of those BBC like, we apologise for what you've heard.
That you think it could mean kill him.
Get rid of him. Get him
end
off.
End his life.
It was just a simple like, thank you so much, Tom. Right now, this is Calvin Harris. You just like play a track as quickly as you can. It's like the quickest gear change. And then when we're in that song, he went, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? I'm like, I feel like we're going to have a debrief about it at the very least.
I feel so. It's going to be on the Daily Mail tomorrow.
It's like, in its individual parts, it's bad. You know, some things, it's like, if you'd not just said that one bit, but saying lick out, prostitute and grandma all together.
Yeah.
It's the perfect storm. And you don't think when you send people to be on live radio, you don't think to say, don't swear, don't say anything that's, you know, offensive. Don't mention
licking
oral
out
sex
a
with a prostitute and your grandparents. There's the checklist. Away you go.
Did you get loads of like tweets about it straight away?
Loads of people just texting, which I thought was really funny. Loads of people were like, mummy, what's lick out a prostitute?
Oh no!
Sunday morning. Great. Well done. Well done all. Another great show.
God.
Brilliant.
Can you top that, Laura?
No, I don't think I can. Because I remember it happening and Alice was like,
mortified.
The worst thing happened. Because you can't even...
Because I'm a goody two-shoes too. I was... I mean, you're always head girl, but I was head girl at school. Like, it's like president.
I was never head girl.
No, you never relinquished the title. Yeah.
I was given head, not head girl.
Oh! Wow. There you
Learning
go.
Learning a lot today.
So that was the...
this
really
might be where my career's ending. I don't know. This is where it could be going.
That's how I got all the jobs, Jo. That's how I got all the jobs.
I can't top that.
You were saying head. Come on.
I've lost my way entirely.
This is like, I mean,
Jo, you had a bit of paper there. What's written on that?
I wrote in my editor's letter about messing up a work, and mine was just about, you know, breaking the photocopier.
I can't.
I know.
No, you can't get away with that now. Laura's just rinsed a career for you there. Come on, you must have something.
Oh dear. So, I am going to change the topic.
I also love, so, you can leave now. Yeah. That was a podcast. Bye bye. You just almost went to play Calvin Harris. Like,
it's totally okay if not, but is there anybody in the audience who would like to submit a subject for us to debate? Everyone's gone very shy and quiet.
Obviously, nobody can see because they're listening, but we're inundated. It's been a stampede.
I've got a plan B. It's fine. This is not going to be a work fuck up. So.
Anyone? Because I always think people do, but they're always like, oh, I don't know if I can put my hand up.
No, I get that. Listen, let's just launch into, is it okay to not have a good excuse to get out of something that you just don't want to do?
We always actually talk about this, because sometimes you just don't want to go out, or you don't want to go for dinner, and it's not about you're the person who you're meeting. Sometimes you're just like, I just want to stay in, or...
My advice is just get into your 40s. And then when you say, oh, I'm just really tired, everyone goes, yeah, you look it. Because you always look tired as well. So then, and then everyone just, and they don't want your tired old face there anyway, so it's fine.
I'm sure that's
wow.
true.
Can't wait for that. Cheers, Jo. Cheers for the offer.
Selling it,
Well, I got a dog, so I feel like that's quite a good excuse. I'm like, I've got to go now. The dog's been at home for hours.
Yeah.
So that's always like
you
a good excuse.
You also play the boyfriend card where you're like, oh,
well, funnily enough, the dog is a better excuse than a child, I've found, since I got a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that sounds like classic excuse, though. Got to get back for the dog. Come on.
You don't have a dog. You don't have a dog, so you don't feel comfortable saying that.
But I just go, like, I like to be in bed by 10. That's my excuse. I'm like, I don't go out after dark, like, famously. So I think if you establish it early, I established it from about the age of 14, that I didn't go out. So now, I'm laughing at both of you that you didn't get it in early. Like,
I know,
everyone expects
I just don't have the balls, quite frankly. I remember Friends years ago, it was the most liberating thing I ever heard when someone asks Phoebe if she'll go and help them move. And she says, oh, I'd love to, but I don't want to. And that is that, and I just thought, wow, I wish it, you know, that's a fantastic.
That is ballsy, isn't it?
Exactly.
The other option is to just do the French exit, so to go, but go for a really ridiculously short amount of time and then just slip out. I'm quite good at that.
But if there's a small group of you, you can't really do that, can you?
There's never a window.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't feel confident enough to say to somebody, I'm not coming because I don't want to. I'd rather save face and say, I'm just I'm coming, and then at the last minute be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to make it.
No, but I can't. I feel way worse about doing that. I feel way worse.
And actually, we hate that at the supper club. We get really mad about that, don't we?
At the last minute, I think I actually have done that to them at the supper club.
I did.
And it was because of a childcare thing. Oh, my God. Childcare. Oh, my God. Childcare. It was true, though.
The dog's ill. Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Oh, no, that'll be on the April 5th. Yeah. I can't come. Something's happened with the dog.
Yeah. Your card's marked, Elvin. Don't you worry about it.
Don't you wish anything on my Bella.
I hope you enjoy your meal. I hope there's nothing you can't eat in there.
Lift the lid. It's Bella. Served up, roasted whole. Little paws up like this.
Wouldn't do it to you.
Oh, poor Bella.
But it's a weird one, isn't it? Because you never want to offend or upset someone by saying, oh, I know it's your birthday, but I don't want to come.
Yeah.
But I always presume, maybe this is like really, maybe I've got deep-rooted insecurities, but I always presume when people send out those big invites on a big WhatsApp group or like on Facebook or even just like a general one, I'm like, they don't care if I go.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
They don't give a shit if I'm there. That's fine. And so I never even think to RSVP. I'm like, A, they don't expect me to go. B, if I was there, they probably wouldn't notice. C, I want to watch Love on Netflix.
I think we're grumpier about invitations now with things like, you know, the wedding. It's not just the day of the wedding. It's the three-day hen do, and it's oh God, am I going to offend you now? Do you know what I mean? Though it's like I can you know, my wedding's in Mauritius, and please spend
or
20
Cornwall.
Grand. Oh, Cornwall. That's really selfish.
Shut up.
Cornwall's
no,
gorgeous.
But no, it's
do you know what I mean? Though? Because events have gotten so big, and I don't know if it's another social media phenomenon where it's my birthday or it's my wedding, so I've got to make it like really Instagram. Mega. So then it just feels quite exhausting to even get into it.
I think you've just got to get rid of a few friends. I sometimes think that's not where I thought it was going.
I don't have many friends. I can't let, you know, I've got to sort of.
Yeah, because that dog. Yeah. You'd have more if you weren't constantly at home with him.
But it's hard though, because you do sometimes feel that if you're not there at everything, like if you're not there at your friend's birthday, you're going to miss out. And I think because of social media, because of the way the world is now, you do get massive FOMO. It's like, even if the party was really terrible, but the pictures were great and everyone looked like they were having a good time on Instagram, you'd be like, oh, maybe I should have got out of bed and gone to that party.
I think Alice and I have got FOGO, fear of going out.
Yeah, I definitely do. I don't suffer FOMO.
I don't.
I think it's because I am a bit of a social recluse. So I feel like, actually, I don't... The feeling I have is when I see those pictures on Instagram or whatever, I think, God, I'm so glad I stayed in. But I actually do.
I think I'm probably the worst kind of invitee, though, because I don't want to go, but I'm really offended if you don't invite me.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of those, kind of passag about it.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah, I'll definitely call someone out on not getting an invite, but I would never.
But I don't want to go. Just invite me.
I want to be in demand.
Yeah. Sure. I think we're all the worst. We're literally the worst.
But if people keep asking you to do things, though, and you always say no, then they just stop asking, though, don't they, I guess? Do you know what I mean? If you've got that friend who's like, do you want to go for dinner? Do you want to go for dinner? Do you want to go for dinner? And then you'd always like, oh, no, no. And then they probably just stop asking you. So it's probably a good thing.
That's why we've got three nearest and dearest. Because we're phased out.
So I think, all right, we need to grow up on that one then. So it's not okay. It's not okay. And that's it. That's the law now that we've decided.
Oh, man.
It's not okay.
That's the podcast rules. But listen, I think our time is up, sadly.
Aww.
Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
When is the book out? Tell me when the book's out. Round to Owls.
May the 18th.
May 18th. Look forward to that. Thank you so much, Laura Jackson and Alice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.